Northern Raiders by Ed Gorman, narrated by Justin Chisholm. A couple of weeks ago, three middle-aged sailors, two Brits and an Aussie, got together in London with a couple of bottles of champagne to celebrate a remarkable episode in the sport that happened 26 years ago on Sydney Harbour. It was January 1999 when the crew of Rockport, skipper and helm Tim Robinson, sheet hand David Witt and bowman Zeb Elliott, pulled off what until then had seemed like the unthinkable. They became the first crew, skippered by a sailor from the Northern Hemisphere, to win the J.J. Giltinan Trophy. Maybe that doesn't sound much, but it was, and still is, a big deal. The J.J., as 54-year-old Sydney sider David Witt calls it, was the holy grail of skiff sailing, the world championship of the famous 18-footers based on Sydney Harbour, where they've become embedded in the history and the culture of the place since the 19th century. These super-fast rocket ships with their long bowsprits and big wings were such a local specialty that very few considered it even worthwhile having a go at trying to wrest a trophy from local Aussie or Kiwi skippers who'd been awarded it every year since 1938. Robinson was unusual in that he'd been interested in the 18-footers since his school days, when he remembers having a picture on his bedroom wall of Australian skipper Ian Murray at the helm of his multiple JJ Trophy winner, Colour 7. But even Robinson thought winning the trophy was out of the question for him or anyone else who was not Australian or from New Zealand. It was always there, but it was an impossible concept, really, he recalled. It was just not real because you had to go down there, learn how to sail them, build a boat and all that stuff, and it was just never going to happen. But in the mid-1990s, Robinson, by then an experienced international 14 racer, followed early British pioneers like Neil MacDonald and Craig Nutter and started crewing on the Australian circuit as a sheet hand, racing in the 18-footer multi-city Grand Prix. By the late 1990s, the lure of the Sydney Olympics and fighting for the coveted British slot in the 49er skiff class at those games drew Robinson and Elliott down to Sydney for months at a time. They didn't quite make it to the games, but along the way they became experts on the intricacies and challenges of Sydney Harbour. Robinson had also raced with Witt in Britain in 18-footers, and by the time the 1999 championships came around, they were ready to give the JJ a go. David Ovington had started building boats in the UK, so that gave us an opportunity to sail them at home, and Aussies like Witty would come over here and sail, and there was a European circuit, so we joined in on that, and kind of built from there, explained Robinson. But then, trying to get down there, knowing enough about the harbour, and knowing how to sail them in a fresh northeaster, was still going to be a challenge. Witt remembers building the sails for Rockport for the series in a class where there were few restrictions. I had a ridiculously big mainsail for the time and a ridiculously big spinnaker, so once the pressure was up, we were pretty quick, he said. Elliott also remembers that spinnaker. Yes, it was ridiculous. You could barely hold on to the damn thing, he said. The seven race series started in light or medium conditions, with the Rockport crew struggling in the light breeze. But when the wind arrived for races 4 and 5, Robinson and co. took back-to-back wins. By the final race, they just needed to finish better than 10 to make history and win against 21 other boats, including pre-series favourite and multiple reigning champion, Trevor Barnabas of Australia. A poor start made for an interesting day on the harbour. I had 10th in my head all the way around. It was reasonably stressful, remembers Elliot. We were 11th for a while, and we got to 10th. I was always pretty confident we would get back one or two of the boats around us. We just had to keep our nerve. It wasn't that windy, so we didn't have our boat speed advantage, which happened in 12 knots and above. We got there, up to 8th, with 3 legs to go. Elliot still remembers, as if it was yesterday, the feeling that they had achieved what they had always thought was impossible. To win a race in the 18-footers was an amazing achievement, and then we realised that we could win it overall. We knew we were capable of it, he said, but to actually do it was unbelievable. It's quite hard to describe the emotions you go through on the last couple of legs when you realise you've got it done, and that feeling of relief. For both him and his skipper, the victory that day would prove the highlight of their sailing careers, which had seen both win European and national championships in international 14s, plus success in 49ers. For Witt, who returned to the class for several seasons after 2011, but never reached the top of the 18-footer program again, it was also a dream come true. Just to be able to win the World Championships, the JJs, it was a lifetime dream of mine as a kid. I was a little kid in Sydney and I used to go down on the ferry and watch every weekend. All I ever wanted to do in my life was be an 18-foot sailor. Luckily, I got the chance, he said. Witt says that the 1999 win catapulted his career, which has seen him go on to win many other titles, skipper a boat in the Volvo Ocean Race, and currently skipper the 100-foot Maxi Scallywag. But his participation alongside Robinson and Elliot was always going to be controversial amongst his own countrymen, some of whom argued that Rockport would not have won without Witt's local knowledge. Both Robinson and Elliot acknowledge his key role, but have never lost sleep worrying about their critics in this respect. There were a few naysayers that Witty was there, but I think broadly they were good about it, recalls Robinson. There were a few newspaper articles in Sydney about a legend ended, the humiliation of the Aussies, or something, which was quite amusing given it was on the mainstream news and all the rest of it. Elliot remembers turning up the following year ready to defend their title, when Robinson says they should have won it again but for breakages, only to discover that all evidence of their victory 12 months earlier was missing at the 18-foot Lee clubhouse in Double Bay. There was no sign of the 1999 world title. They still had all the winners up from 1998, said Elliot. Looking back, Robinson says that the win was down to sailing smart and dealing with the unique combination of challenges you get on Sydney Harbour. Like all sailing, it's about not making any mistakes, he said. The thing about the harbour is that not only does it blow with the famous northeaster, it also blows from the east and the south, and there's lots of vagaries because there are lots of headlands. And then you add in all the traffic, and when you're racing at weekends, it's just full of other boats, whether it's ferries or cruise liners or other boats racing. So the opportunities to blow it are really quite high. Witt remembers, as do his two crewmates, a certain amount of chaos on shore during the regatta, largely centered around Witt himself, but also a rare chemistry between them on the water. The minute the three of us stepped onto the boat, no one ever raised their voice. We never had an argument and everybody sort of did their job, he said. Tim drove the boat. I grew up on Sydney Harbour, so I had a reasonable idea where we should go. And Zeb did the rest. The Robinson crew certainly broke the mould and made a bit of history. They also showed the sailing world the J.J. Giltinan Trophy was there for the taking. 3 years after their triumph, the American skipper Howie Hamlin won the first of two consecutive championships, and he was followed to the top of the podium in 2004 by the British skipper Rob Greenhalgh. These days, Robinson, 60, runs a property business in Europe. Elliot, 56, has his own refrigeration company, and Whit is still sailing. The get-together in London was the first time Whit and Elliot had seen each other in years. They sat together and re-watched the races on YouTube and remembered the day they walked off with a trophy that the Aussies thought was their exclusive preserve. When you get to our age, you end up going to quite a lot of reunion-type things, said Whit. This was certainly the best one I've ever been to, and I haven't been excited to go to one like this ever before. You can read more great stories like this one on the Yacht Racing Life website at www.yachtracinglife.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.